My name is John Elliott, and this is a podcast from the Insights in Jazz series, www.dropback.co.uk.
This week's podcast is about the standard Stardust, written by Hughie Carmichael in 1927, and the words were written by Mitchell Parish in 1929, where the title of the song, instead of being one word, which originally was, when Hughie Carmichael published in 1927, the title became two words, Star and Dust. Which is the final form in 1929. And this has been requested by a couple of readers of the Insights in Jazz book. The roadmap for this song can be found on page 260 in the book. You'll see that I've included the verse for the song as well as the chorus, which the chorus being in A, B, A, C form. So the verse has got 2 8-measure sections which are very similar to each other. Let's start the analysis by looking there. So the first 4 measures of the verse are what I call the TTFA, turn around to further away. This is part of the drop back family that I describe on page 23 of the book. So we have chord 1, followed by chord 4, 7, followed by chord 3, followed by chord 6, 7. So it gets us from chord 1 to chord 6, 7, the drop back chord. An alternative to this would be to use the chromatic dropback, which is also described in that part of the book, and then the chords would be tritone substitutions of some of the chords that we see here. So we'd have D flat major 7 as is, and then we'd have a C7 and we'd have a B7, which are both tritone substitutions for the chords that are actually shown in the roadmap, and then the B7 would drop down chromatically to the B-flat 7, which is the drop-back chord. And so you can see how that could work equally well. The second half of the first line of the verse is what I call a double pullback, and this is described on page 22 of the book. So it starts like a 7-chord pullback, so we see 2-5-3-6. Instead of going to the expected 2-5-1 in the third bar, we see instead a 2nd pullback, so that's why I call it a double pullback. So we have E flat minor 7, A flat 7. Pulling back to F minor 7, B flat minor 7. Pulling back again to G minor 7, C 7. Before it goes into the spot variant at the end of the first line of the verse. So, yeah, spot being 3-6-2-5-1. Instead, we see 3 flat 3-7, 2 minor 7, 5-7. It's a tritone variant on the expected spot. And I think this makes sense because it allows us to use chords that continue around the cycle. From the C7 at the end of the double pullback, we can go into an F minor 7 around the cycle. It makes sense to use these chords rather than the ones that appear in the Cher New Real Book 2, which simply jumps from the C7 to an E flat minor 7, A flat 7, which is much harder to make sense of and therefore much harder to remember in a key independent way. Okay, so that's the first line of the verse. Second line of the verse starts in exactly the same way with the TTFA drop back. By the way, the colour in the TTFA first four measures indicates that the G flat chord is dominant rather than the expected, because it's chord 4 rather than the expected major 7 quality. And the third chord, the F7, is also coloured because it's dominant rather than the expected -7 there. But if you think of it as a triton substitution for the chromatic dropback, then you can see that dominance in those three chords makes sense. So looking at the second line of the verse now, we've got the TTFA at the front exactly as we had in the first line of the verse, and then we have a conventional seven chord pullback in the second half of the second line of the verse. So it takes us all the way from 2 E-flat minor 7 back to 1 D-flat major 7 in the fourth measure there. For the actual chorus of the song itself, which starts on the A section, we have to get to chord 4, because this is one of those songs that starts on chord 4, like Just Friends and I Can't Believe You're In Love With Me. In order to get there, we have to do what I call a bootstrap launcher. It's the tu part, if you like, of the tu 4 and back family. And what it means is we need to see one chord one dominant 7. So there we see the D-flat 7, and that is the bootstrap launcher, or it's the tu part of a tu 4 and back family member. Okay, so that's the verse analysed. Now let's have a look at the chorus of the song itself. Some people just play the chorus alone, but it's quite common to play the verse as the introduction in recordings of this song, so I just wanted to include that. Okay, so the A section starts on chord 4, because we're in the key of D-flat when we're looking at this road map. Starts on chord 4, and it does a 4 and Mac. Now this was described in the second podcast about the 4 and back family. It's one of the variants of the 4 and back. It's the one where you start on 4 and you go to 4 minor. But also, rather than just staying there before going back to chord 1, it also includes the 4 and yak variant, which is where you'd see the Yardbird chord, which is flat 7-7, which would be, in this case, would be the B7. We've got enharmonic spelling here getting in the way. But, okay, so in D-flat, technically we've got a C-flat, which is flat 7-7, C-flat 7, but that's difficult to read, so I've just enharmonically written it as B7. So we've got kind of two 4 and back families going on at the same time here. We've got the 4 and Mac, where you have 4 minor, and we've also got the 4 and Yak, which is the B7, the flat 7-7. We've got both here, so it makes this quite interesting. So then the second half of the A section, we go to chord 1, as you'd expect, to complete the 4 and Yak, but we also start another TTFA drop back brick, but this time it's compressed into just two measures. So we see D flat major 7, G flat 7, F minor 7, B flat 7, and this is another drop back as we've seen before, pointing us towards chord 2, where we'd normally be expecting to start a cadence home. But in the last two measures of the A section, we actually stay on chord 2, and it's as though we're temporarily on a key center of E flat minor. So we do an on, off, on. We do an E flat minor 7, a B flat 7, E flat minor 7, kind of temporarily making it look and feel like we're in E flat minor. And then what happens at the beginning of the B section is we do get the expected cadence home that we were expecting before. So we're looking for E flat minor 7, A flat 7, D flat major 7. Slight variant here that it starts immediately on A flat 7 and does the flat minor 7, A flat 7 in the second measure. But this is all, I mean, you have to understand the cadence is really based around 5-1, A flat 7 going to D flat 7. And whether or not you break that 5 down into a 2-5 is really pretty much arbitrary. And the breaking down is usually done so that you start on chord 2, but you can start on chord 5 and then go back and do the 2 later, as happens in this case. So that's the first half of the B section analysed. The second half of the B section is basically the expected slow launcher. We talked about slow launchers, they very commonly appear at the end of B sections, and they're basically made up of chord 2 as a dominant 7 rather than the expected minor 7. So we've got the E flat 7 here rather than E flat minor 7, and they end with chord 5-7, which here is A flat 7, which is what we see here. The second half of the B section is a slow launcher, and tagged right onto the very end is a G7, which is a tritone substitution for a D flat 7, which is the 2 that we're expecting, because we need something to get us back to start on chord 4 for the second A. So we've done our slow launcher, and then right at the very last half measure we stuff in the G7, or the D flat 7 if you prefer. Just to get us back to the G flat 7 where the second A starts. Before we leave the B section, the question might be, how do we know where to start the slow launcher? Okay, so we were on D flat major 7 at the end of the cadence, at the beginning of the B section. I suppose you could argue I should have put in a join here saying something like at 2 dominant 7, just to tell you, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm not thinking, it's not a conventional join here, because I'm just thinking we need to start on 2-7, 2 dominant 7 to do a slow launcher. So that's how I'm thinking about it. Okay, so the second A section is the same as the first A section, and that leaves us with simply the C section, the final section of the song. Now this starts with a Yardbird cadence. Again, we've got the enharmonic spelling here. So we're in D flat major. You might expect to see G flat minor 7, C flat 7, D flat major 7, but I find these C flats and more trouble than they're worth, so I typically spell them out in what I think is the simplest form, and I write F sharp minor 7, B7, and then D flat major 7, and that's the classic Yardbird cadence. Sounds exactly the same in any key. Just looks a bit wonky here. So we start with the Yardbird cadence, and then we drop back to complete the first half of the song. Drop back being the drop back chord, B flat 7, 6 dominant 7. And it's there for its usual purpose, which is to point us at the cadence home, which is exactly how the song ends, 2-5-1 in the home key. And this could be, it's worth noting that because this song's quite slow, this last cadence could be replaced with a body and soul cadence, which does a, you know, E flat minor 7, B7, sorry, E flat minor 7, B flat 7, E flat minor 7, A flat 7, D flat 7, just to give us more changes because it's going so slowly. That's a possibility that would fit this song, that's sometimes used. And the last thing to say is right at the very end of the song, we have another bootstrap launcher with a bootstrap joined to the D flat major 7, taking us to an A flat minor 7, D flat 7, which is what we need to point us back to the first A section in this chorus that we go around for the solos, which is chord 4.
My name is John Elliott. I'm the author of Insights in Jazz, which is available from www.dropback.co.uk. If you've got any questions you'd like to ask about the podcast or the method in the book or any suggestions you'd like to make for future podcasts, then please contact me by emailing me at john@dropback.co.uk. If you found this podcast useful and you'd like to leave a tip, then you can visit the website where there's a PayPal donate button. Thanks for listening.